Hi, this is Pastor Daniel Bracken. You're listening to Kings Alaska Podcast. I hope the word encourages you and you get a touch from God that brings transformation and equips you to experience life with people, power, and purpose. Thank you for joining us. Enjoy the word.
Hallelujah. You may be seated. I am so honored to be here tonight in this wonderful Holy Ghost Word of God. Planted church for such a time as this in the state of Alaska. And I'm thankful for what Pastor Daniel just said. I wish this church would have been here when I was here. But it's here now. Hallelujah. And it's here in exactly the right time. You know, when my feet hit the tarmac of the Anchorage Airport this last July, I still have two sons up here and two grandchildren up here. I came up here in July to see family, and your pastor was gracious and had me minister here a couple of times, and I did in Eagle River. And I thought I was mostly coming to see family and minister a couple of times. And of course, I was staying with Noel and Edna down here, DeVries, Mayor DeVries. And I stayed with them all these years ago. And they were so instrumental in me having any ministry, let alone going all over the world. And God has, in his favor and his mercy, taken us into 50 nations now. In many of those nations, 15, 20 times apiece. And when I came up here in July, I found myself thinking, well, you know, we helped pioneer back in the day, but now God's raising up young people and raising up other generations that do probably better with the climate, because I'm now based out of Tampa, Florida, and the river at Tampa Bay, Dr. Rodney Howard Brown. And I thought, well, God's raising up other people. I'll come up here once in a while. And I was so shocked when my feet hit the ground off the jet. I thought, you have got to be kidding, Lord, because I know the voice of the Holy Ghost. And I heard you will be coming up here much like you did in the early days, and starting all over again, except it won't be the way it was then, that God will open up doors. And I just went, really, Lord, after all these years? And then when I got back home at the end of July, my pastor, Dr. Rodney Howard Brown, I had already taught that night. He was having me teach for his fire conference day and night. And I had just sat down, and now he was going to preach. And he called me out, and he began to prophesy about what is about to happen in Alaska and about us coming back up here. And then this last January at his winter camp meeting, he called me out again and began to say some more about what would happen up here. And so we planned our first trip of our first region, really, starting with Beryl and then Wainwright just a few weeks ago, and then came down this way and just came from Eagle River and now here, and the next three nights in Palmer. And this is just the beginning of something the Lord spoke to my heart, that we're calling Alaska ablaze. And we already have had trips planned this year in between. I will be going to Cape Town, South Africa with Dr. Rodney here in a few weeks. And we're going all over the United States before that and after that. And then I will be going to London. So we are going to plan these trips to Alaska in between what was already on the calendar. But I promise you, we will be coming back to the state and hitting almost every village that God tells us to hit, and every town and every city. And I realize we're just one of many people that God will use in this hour. But I know I said this here before. I know that this is the most strategic church for this hour, to see Alaska lit ablaze from the top of the Arctic Ocean down the Aleutian Chain. And you are called and designed by God and drawn here for such a time as this to be a part of the greatest revival that I believe this state has ever seen in the country. the Lord told us not only Alaska, but Canada. And I've already in the last few weeks been two places in Canada, and probably even more doors have opened in Canada than this state yet. And so we will be going all over Canada as well. But it would be just like God to start sweeping from the north on down. And I love the fact there are so many things about tonight already that I have loved, and I just got to mention them. Because you're in a good Word of God, Holy Ghost Church, and you can get used to that, like I can in my church in Tampa. And you can start to think they're a dime a dozen, but I promise you, unfortunately, as of this moment, they are not. I want to believe that changes. But when your pastor starts out singing, "Come on, Holy Ghost," I thought about how few churches are doing that and calling on Him to have His way and do whatever He wants to do. And it was so refreshing to my heart. And then when He began to teach on the tithe, I think it especially ministered to me because the Lord has recently given me a message on Achan and the devoted things. And I thought, you don't know how privileged you are to be taught about the blessing of God so that you can be blessed. And so that you can bless the entire world, because most churches are afraid to mention it and afraid of the people's faces. And so I just was thanking the Lord that this wonderful Holy Ghost Word of God church is here for such a time as this. And I wanted to start out with that just to remind you that you are in one of the best places in the world right now. And don't take it for granted for one moment. Hallelujah. Tonight, what is on my heart is the fact that every one of us must have a Holy Ghost impartation, not just once, but continuous Holy Ghost impartations to do what we're called to do. If we're going to set anybody around us ablaze, let alone a region, let alone a state, let alone a country, and we are called to be water walkers and nation shakers, we are called to pour out everything He's done in us, but He must do it in you first before He can do it through you. Pastor Daniel mentioned that right in the middle of my brokenness, and again, Noel and Edna are witnesses to this, and some others probably here tonight. In the middle of my brokenness, I got desperate. I was already pastoring in Sutton. I believed I was a Holy Ghost revivalist. I mean, I was a tongue talker. I was a pastor. I'd been to two Bible schools. I had grown up in Pentecost. But it wasn't until I realized I had two choices in the middle of everything that had happened in my family, either to get bitter, to get disillusioned, or press into God as never before. And thank God we did the latter. And I said, "Lord, I am tired of reading all the revival books." Pastor was talking about loving to read. I do too. And I've got a vast library, and it continues to expand. And ever since I was a little girl, I was so interested in revival. And I read every revival book I could get my hands on until I had them memorized, I think. And then my grandparents were privileged enough to go to Jack Coe's meeting and Oral Roberts and a couple of William Branham's and A.A. Allen's. And I would go home with them and keep them up on the weekends and ask them to tell me again and again and again about the person that jumped off the stretcher or the blind eyes that came open. And they'd say, "Honey, we've told you so many times. You got to go to sleep now." But that fostered such a hunger in me. And my grandmother lived until she was 101, almost 102. And guess who was asking who the other way around? "Debbie, tell me again about the blind eyes that came open in your meetings. Tell me again about the paralyzed person that jumped up." Because the hunger that they fostered in me created such a desire for the things of God. And then in the middle of my brokenness, I called out for fresh fire and fresh oil. And God began to do it in our little church and in the villages and in the prison ministry here at Palmer Correctional. And it was the move of the Holy Ghost that caused a revival to go through that entire prison at Palmer Correctional. We baptized so many men in water, never had to dunk one of them. They fell out under the power, and the guards would have to fish them out and just lay them everywhere. And then it spread into the other prison systems of Alaska until we got asked to go into the ladies' prison, and then some of those guys out of Palmer Correctional got transferred, and the revival would spread there. What was it? Was it a great oratorical speech that began to do that? No, it was the touch of heaven in me and then through me so that we could give what God had done in me. He'll get it to you if he can get it through you. And here we are all these years later, and then, of course, a number of months later, Dr. Rodney Howard Brown comes to Anchorage, and I dropped all of our plans, everything planned in the church, a village trip that was planned, and said, I got to get in there no matter what it costs. And I was carried out a lot of those meetings, taken to Nolan at his house, thrown in that little bed, just drunk in the Holy Ghost all night long, sometimes into the next day or the next day. And it was that touch that propelled us all over the world. And I find it more than just coincidental that tonight, as that song was introduced and our brother began to talk about the generations that have been touched and how even my pastor was instrumental in your pastor being touched, instrumental in me being touched, and instrumental in the move of God going all over the earth. And then I found, isn't that just like God, that began in this state, and it began with Dr. Rodney, at least as far as I was concerned, and here we are full circle back in this state with God promising this state a move like never before. And when I was going to preach a message in Barrow called Redigging the Old Wells, the Holy Ghost spoke to me and said, why would you dig old wells when I want to do a new thing? And so there's a degree of never forgetting what he's done and making marking places and saying, God, we want that again. But he also wants us to know that he has more under his little fingernail than all of us have seen put together yet. And he wants to do a brand new thing and use each and every one of you like you have never been used in your life. Hallelujah. Just before Jesus ascended, how many know his last words are going to be especially important? He says in Luke 24, 49, and behold, I send the promise of my Father upon you. But tarry ye in the city of Jerusalem until you be endued with power. Don't start a Bible school. Don't build a church. Don't start a Christian school. Don't have any programs. Don't do anything until you get the power, because my church will be built on the efficiency of the power of the Holy Ghost. It will be built on I am the Christ. Upon that revelation, I will build my church, and the gates of hell shall not prevail against it. Not on a good program, not on imagination, not on intellect, not on good hard workers. And we need all of those things. But he says, my church will be built on the revelation that I am the Christ, the anointing, the anointed one. Upon that revelation, I will build my church. And then in Acts chapter 1, verses 4 and 5, and being assembled together with them, commanded them that they should not depart from Jerusalem, but wait for the promise of the Father, which saith he, you have heard of me, for John truly baptized with water, but you shall be baptized with the Holy Ghost not many days hence. The bottom line is, if we ever try, and I've known many churches that begin in the Holy Ghost and ended up somewhere else. Do you know almost all of our mainline Pentecostal denominations? I'm not picking on them. This is just a fact. It's just church history. Everything that begins in the fire usually ends up years later, if you give it long enough, in a glacier. And then God always has to raise up another man, another woman to say, I won't settle for any less than your fire. Come on, like your pastor was calling out tonight. Come on, Holy Ghost. I won't settle for anything less than your fire. If we try to address spiritual issues with natural thinking, the result is always religion. I told a story last night in Eagle River. Don't have time to repeat the whole thing. But about being in a church in the lower 48 many years ago and being asked to pray for a man that the pastor said had some problems. That was the understatement of the century. When my hand hit about here, I'm not sure I made full contact. That man jumped on chairs that were stacked up 12 to 14 feet in the corner, began taking his clothes off and growling. I thought, yeah, he's got some problems. And long story short, he was totally delivered that night and asked if he could sing the next night. The pastor said, sing? You sing? You won't even talk to anyone. You sing? And that night, he gave praise and glory to his deliverer and his Savior, Jesus Christ. And he began to sing Amazing Grace with the most beautiful voice. He sounded like he should be in an opera. And we had standing room only because the whole town knew his story and that he had been arrested for exposing himself publicly, couldn't hold down a job. His wife said she watched him being bounced off the walls at night by demonic power and feared for the lives of her children. That man became a pillar in the church. But I found out later that he was being counseled on a daily basis for 3.5 years before that. How many know you can't counsel demons out? But Holy Ghost churches tend to grow and then become self-sufficient. And I know it's not going to happen in this one because you got a Holy Ghost couple at the helm and Holy Ghost people that say we will never let that happen. But I have to remind every individual, because no matter who is at the helm and no matter what great preaching you get and what great move of the Holy Ghost, every one of you has an individual decision to make. Am I going to press in? Am I going to have everything that is available to me? I am called here in this state right now to see this state transformed by the power of the Holy Ghost and by the Word of God, and I'm not going to settle for just a little bit will do me. This is how my ministry was birthed. This is how Pastor Rodney's ministry was birthed. I'm sure many of you have heard his testimony probably more than once, but to make a long story short, he grew up in a Pentecostal family. He was baptized in the Holy Ghost at a young age, had prayer meetings in his parents' home all the time, watched them under the table, just flooded with the Holy Ghost. But even then, when he got in his own ministries in the singing group, he decided, no, I gotta have more. And he starts to scream out, God, come down and touch me with your fire, or take me home to be with you. I have to have more. And he hollered that until he lost his voice. And that's when most people will say, quiet down, Sonny, God's not deaf. No, he's not, but he doesn't get nervous either. And he loves people who will make a demand on the Holy Ghost any way that they and him work it out, that they're making the demand. He loves that. So he continued to holler out in a hoarse voice for like 40 minutes. And then liquid fire engulfed him, where he thought, God has heard my prayer and he's going to take me home to be with him. And he had to pray that the Lord let up a little bit so he could even function. But that's the same fire that's now spread all over the world, from city to city, state to state, country to country, continent to continent. And anybody that has ever been used very much can trace it back to a Holy Ghost encounter. Anybody, you read it through church history. That's how I got healed up of a broken heart, of years of abuse. There is nothing like the fire of the Holy Ghost. He will go where no psychiatrist can go, where no surgeon's knife can go, where no best friend's words can go, where nobody's arm around you can go. He will go and he will do his spiritual surgery. He'll do heart surgery and brain surgery until you are unrecognizable. Hallelujah. Mr. Wigglesworth. Anybody ever heard of him? Smith Wigglesworth. Anybody who's had 23 to 26, depending upon which book you read, people raised from the dead, we might want to check in and see some things they believed and operated in. And he said this, I'd rather have the Holy Ghost on me 10 minutes than to own the whole world with a fence around it. And I concur. I would rather have the Holy Ghost on me for 5 minutes, for 3 minutes, than to own the whole world with a fence around it. How many would agree with me? How many would witness that? How many have had a touch of God that you say, there are no words to explain this? I can't vocalize this. I can't verbalize this. I can't even make motions to show you what this was like. You must have what I have. You must experience what I experience. The man or the woman with an experience is never at the mercy of one with only an argument. Don't misunderstand me. We don't base the word of God on our experience. Our experience must line up with the word of God. But when it does, people can bring their arguments all day long. And they try with me. I don't believe in prosperity. You've come too late. I've been there and I've been here, and here is better. I don't believe in tongues. I suppose you don't. You don't speak in them. I do. And you've come too late. I don't believe in all this Holy Ghost stuff. Well, then I guess you don't. But he's in me and all over me and behind me and around me. And you've come too late. Hallelujah. Job 42:5 says this. I have heard of thee by the hearing of the ear, but now mine eye seeth thee. There is something about the person who has learned to step in and step over in his mighty power and glory. There is something about the person that's sensitive to the Holy Ghost and knows how to yield to him, that when you have seen him with your eye, it is not enough to just hear some things, take some notes. I must know him in an intimate way. I must walk with him and talk with him. You know, there are songs that I sang in church growing up that didn't mean probably everything to me they should have when I was a child or a teenager or even a young adult, but oh, they mean something now. He gets sweeter and sweeter as the days go by. Oh, what a love between my Lord and I. There is something about walking and talking with him. There is something about him living on the inside of you. There is something about knowing that he undergirds you. There is something about raising these spiritual antennas and knowing his fire is coming down on you that nobody can take away under any circumstances. Now, in a moment, I'm going to show you about a 10-minute video, and after we watch it, I'm going to try to bring this home, but I want to preface this video and tell you a little bit about it. Many years ago, in the middle 90s, I was asked to go to Ukraine, and some of the things that happened, just like I said a moment ago, I can't verbalize. I'm going to try to, but I don't know that I can. We had about 1,500 people in Sumy, Ukraine, in a rented theater every night in this revival. But in the morning time, they said, we have a Bible school, and it's across town. They said, we've rented an upper room, and we can fit. Usually we have about 75 people in there, but we're going to open it up to some of our church people and leaders. We think we can crowd 120 people in there. Well, you have 120 people. God seems to like that number. Crowded in an upper room, he seems to like that. You already have a setup going on. And so we were having great Holy Ghost meetings at night, and you'll see some of that. So I got in the Bible school, and literally before God, this is what happened. I had my head down. I'm reading a note. The word anoint means to paint, to smear, to rub in as with oil. And I hear a thunder when I said that. And I looked up to see 120 people not falling out of their seats, being propelled and shot out of their seats. And they begin to roll. And there wasn't any room in that little place. And I just went and moved against the wall where I was without saying or doing another thing for the next 5.5 hours as the Holy Ghost rolled over those people. And I don't know how long it was, maybe maybe 20, 30 minutes, and it was as though a conductor were up here. And there was a conductor, just no human conductor. And all of a sudden, they all jumped up at the same time, and they began to run, and there wasn't room to run in there. And they still had their eyes closed, and nobody ran into each other. I'm just watching all this with my mouth open. And after 20 or 30 minutes, they begin to sing in other tongues in the spirit. And it's only the second time in my life, one time in Pastor Rodney's meeting in Lakeland, Florida, with 10,000 people there, and now in my own meeting where we heard the angels of heaven join in our atmosphere, and you could hear that beautiful melody come over the top. And that went on for a long time, and I am just trembling and hanging on for dear life against the wall. And then after 20 or 30 minutes, the joy hits, and they are so drunk on the Holy Ghost. And then after quite a while, they begin to sing in the spirit again, then they fall out again, then they're on their face crying out. This went on for 5.5 hours. And unbeknown to me, there was a government office underneath us. It hadn't been all that long since the Iron Curtain had fallen. Everything was still in place. And I didn't know that when they ran, they were shaking the plaster off the ceiling. And the government officials came running up, and then they saw that, and they just did this. They said, "We're coming back later." And they came back, and they confiscated all of our passports and held on to them for about 3 days before I got them back and the team. But what happened in that upper room, I remember saying, in those early days, I mean, all of us who've been in revival for a while, I realize could tell stories like this all day, and we don't have time to, but I remember thinking how I wish I had a video camera. In those days, we weren't carrying anything like that. And the next year, a couple that came with me, they said, we've got somebody hired to take a video because we don't want to miss it this time. So what you're about to see when we get to the Ukraine part is not the service I described. It's the next year. And you're going to shake your head at that. And remember, that doesn't even compare to the year before that I just told you about. But it was still a day where I went, oh, my goodness, I'm still trying to teach. And the same thing close to that happened. But not only Ukraine. I've got about, I believe it's about 57 minutes on YouTube called The Manifested Presence of God, where we just took moments of the power of God hitting different nations and put it all together. But I isolated 10 minutes of that out to show every once in a while in a church. And the reason for that is not to try to get the same thing to happen. You can't ever do that. The reason is because people tell us all the time, you won't see a move of God like that in India. Their culture is different. You won't see a move of God like that in Nepal. Their culture is different. You won't see that in Toronto, Canada, in a fancy city church. It's different. They forget, no matter what the culture is, same Holy Ghost. When people get desperate and hungry and thirsty, because the hungry and the thirsty shall be filled. When people get yielded, when they say, I can't live without more of your presence and without you doing something big in our state. God, it's not by might nor by power, but by your spirit, says the Lord of hosts. And Lord, we cry out whatever it takes for this state. Nolan and Edna, the nations are going to be laid up to your account. You wouldn't let me quit. You housed me and my boys. On that day, I'm telling you, there's going to be some things laid up to your account. And that's the way it works in the kingdom of heaven. For everybody that sows, everybody that prays, everybody that yields, we're not an island unto ourselves. And God has told me he wants to do a whole lot more than that in this state. And you may be saying, well, I don't think we need to shake, rattle, and roll like that. Maybe not. But I can't tell you the things that have happened as a result, the churches that have been planted by those people. We had a drug addict in that one service in Ukraine that got saved, filled with the Holy Ghost, and now he's pastoring in the middle of the war over there. There is something about the fire. It's transferable. It's tangible. And when you get that kind of fire, you can't quit. Because like the prophet of old, it's a fire shut up in your bones. And I'm not saying everybody has to shake the same and scream the same or laugh the same or fall out the same. I could care less. But I will tell you this, when enough power goes through you, usually something happens. Nobody can grab a hold of an electrical wire. I don't care what your culture is, what your accent is. Very often I pick on the British. I just have fun with them. And then I do a DNA test and find out I'm like 98% British and the other part Irish. But we have a little bit of fun and say, I don't care if you're a Brit. If you grab the wrong electrical wire, you're probably not going to say, oh my goodness, my whole head's about to blow off. Can you go get my what? No, he may not sound like I sound or somebody else, but we're going to know something is happening. God wants to shake this state with his glory, with his anointing, with his conviction, with his goodness, with his grace, with his healing power, with notable miracles, until everybody knows, until the knowledge of the glory of the Lord covers the earth as the waters cover the sea, until everybody knows that every good and perfect gift comes down from the Father above, where there is no variableness nor shadow of turning. Until everybody knows that he is drawing them and wooing them, that only he has the power to save and deliver. Only he has the power to heal. Only he has the power to do whatever you need done in your family. So we've got to let him get big on the inside of us. When you look at the people in the Bible who were touched, I looked at Enoch. I think what happened to him is he heard his great-great-great-great-great-great-great-great-grandpa say, oh, you should have seen what it was like to walk and talk with God. And Enoch went, I'm tired of hearing those stories. I want to walk and talk like God like that. No, you can't, son. Grandma ate us out of house and home. No, why can't I know God like that? And I think he pursued after God until he was not, for God took him. Elisha said, I won't let you go till I have the double portion. And he had so much fire in his bones that when a body is thrown in his bones, he comes up out of the grave. There is something about the anointing of the Holy Ghost that will fix anything that you lack. You look down through the Old and the New Testament. I'm not going to go through it now, but I think I'm going to end. There's so many I would love to do, but I'm going to end with Moses. Anybody ever felt like you failed? Maybe you knew there was a call in your life, but you made some stupid, serious mistakes. By the way, if that's you, I got a book out there. I had it last time I was here too, but it's called Resurrected, Overcoming Death, Destruction and Defeat. But here's Moses. He knew he was supposed to be a leader, but he blew it. He let his flesh get the best of him. Now he's on the backside of a desert. It looks all over. But when he saw that bush burning, when he saw that bush, it's not so unusual for some bush to be burning out in the desert there, but this one's never consumed. And the Bible says he drew aside. If you're going to have more of God, you always got to draw aside. I've got to get up close and really look and see what he's doing. Moses, take off your shoes. You are on holy ground. And the fire that he looked at in that bush that day was the same fire that showed in his eyes when he faced Pharaoh. And Pharaoh could see the burning bush in the eyes of Moses. You want to know that there is not a refrigerator up in heaven. There is a burning fire on the altar. And anybody that meets up with the fiery God that we serve, you have to show it. People have to be able to feel it when they're around you. They will begin to say, I feel and I smell the fire on you. And then Moses said, that's not enough. I got to climb the mountain. 40 days touched him, but he still lost his temper. He still broke that 10-point sermon that God gave him. And he said, 40 days, touch me. I'm going to let another 40 days change me. Fire, go deeper. Glory, do your mighty work. I'm not going to settle for a little touch and a goosebump or a laugh or a run or a fall. Oh, come and change me until I look like Jesus, walk like Jesus, smell like Jesus, act like Jesus. That's what revival fire does. And that's what God wants to do in this state. But you notice he doesn't do it. He doesn't just rain fire out of the heavens on a state, on a map. He does it in you. And the person sitting beside you. And the person sitting beside you and the youth. When I saw the youth up here in this worship service, I couldn't help but think about in one of our revival meetings in this city at Gospel Outreach at that time. Palmer High School ended up coming in. Most of the high school into that revival. We had to move out our book table, move out everything because there wasn't room. Kids were sitting on the stairs. They were everywhere. And then I got the reports that kids were beginning to shake under the fire of the Holy Ghost and the joy in study hall at Palmer High. So the teachers were calling pastors and parents, and it spread all over the school. And then one night, I called all the youth up, and there was a young man on the ground with all the rest of them. And somebody got up and said, "You know who that is?" And I said, "No, I have no idea." They said, "That's an atheist from our biology class." And I'm looking at him, shaken under the power of the Holy Ghost. I said, "He doesn't look too much like an atheist right now. Can somebody stand him up?" And I said, "He's just shaking." And he goes, "What was that?" I said, "What was what?" He said, "Two things. What was that that hit me? And what is that language everybody's speaking?" "Oh, that. This is that that was spoken by the prophet Joel, that in the last day, saith God, I will pour out of my spirit upon all flesh, and your sons and your daughters shall prophesy." This is that. God wants to do that all over the state. And I looked at your youth and I thought, Lord, I never saw youth just in a church up here enjoying your presence like that, not until revival hit anyway. Oh, what God wants to do through you. What he is doing through you. I don't want to take away from that, but I still know he wants to do a whole lot more through you. How many want more tonight? How many want to say, God, come and do in me anything you want to do so you could do it through me?
Well, I hope you were encouraged by God's word. Thank you again for listening to King's Alaska Podcast. God bless you. For more great content, go to kcalaska.com. May God's face shine upon you.